we're ready to start again. When we gather again downstairs, there are a couple of boxes of books that we've brought that are free. Some of them are new, that newly published. So if you want one, just take them. There's no problem. Once again, we're going to look in the Word, and I want to apply the indispensable principle. But before we do, I want to share Psalm 68 and verse 9. I just love this in terms of the Jubilee. Thou didst confirm thy inheritance when it was parched. And that's so precious to me, because when we take our eyes off the Lord and we go off into a strange land and our harps are hung on the willows, you know, can't sing the Lord's song, the Lord looks down on us and He confirms His inheritance when it's parched. And I don't know what's going on in your life, but maybe somebody's parched, you know, and just needs the Lord's touch. So we'll trust Him for that. Let's pray. Father, thank You that we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and that it's His delight to unveil Jesus to our hearts. And we just pray that we might see Him again in a fresh way, and that You might teach us what Jubilee living really is, that we might know the joys that they experienced literally on that year of Jubilee, that would be our continual experience day by day, year by year. Thank You, Lord, that You're going to work it in us, because Jesus deserves it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, because it's been so close, I think I've mentioned before, when I teach in Delaware, there's a week in between, you know. And so review has been a big thing for me. And even though we've only been minutes, I feel like I have to review. Anyway. Jubilee is the picture that we're looking at, and it's what God wants to work in each of our heart, because He's the Redeemer Kinsman, and He can give it at any moment that we want it. In our first message, we just looked at that Jesus is the inheritance, and what we lose is what we've had all along. And we take our eyes off the Lord, very sad. And He wants us to have it back. And then this morning we just pointed out that even though things were restored, pastures and fields and orchards and vineyards and liberty and victory and deliverance and unity and reunion and all of the rest, it's not because they let go of those things. You say, well, they had to let go of their houses. No, they took their eyes off the Lord, their inheritance, and they lost their houses and their animals and their liberty and so on. Leviticus 25, to speak to the sons of Israel, say to them, when you come into the land which I shall give you, the land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord. And once again, we don't lose rest by letting go of rest. We don't lose liberty by letting go of liberty. And we don't lose provision by letting go of provision. We don't lose joy and peace and rest by letting go of that, but by taking our eyes off the Lord Jesus. And when our eyes are on the Lord, we have that in fullness. And as there's no end to the increase of His government, there's no end to the increase of peace. You can have perfect peace today, more peace tomorrow. You can know him as absolute Lord today, and then you can enter more fully into his lordship tomorrow. There's no end to the increase of his government or of peace. When we close, I called attention to chapter 25, verse 2. The land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord. It's his rest. It's not ours. We enter into his rest. And we enter into his joy. And when he is delighted and happy with the finished work, then we begin to have the jubilee. Once again, Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? And that, to my entire satisfaction, is enough review. So that brings us to our present study. We looked that jubilee was this restoration of God's people to the inheritance that they lost by taking their eyes off of Christ. I want to begin this lesson by calling attention to what made the year of Jubilee, Jubilee. And apart from this, there could be no Jubilee. There could be no restoration. In fact, there couldn't be anything needing to be restored. I like to think of it this way. In order to have the Jubilee, there has to be a pre-Jubilee. Now, what do I mean by a pre-Jubilee? Once again, in verse 9, you shall sound a ram's horn. And we heard that so far. Wonderful. That's the sound. A ram's horn on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, you shall sound a horn through all your land. And I'm referring to the 10th day of the 7th month. I'm referring to the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. That day was the foundation of Jubilee. There could be no Jubilee until the ram's horn sounded at the completion of the year of Jubilee. That was a day like no other, and Jubilee is rooted in the atonement. That's why it started at the end of the Day of Atonement. All the blessings that we looked at, the reunions and the restoration and the liberty and being debt free, all of that was because of the atonement. And the pre-Jubilee is the Jubilee in God's heart. Before man can have a Jubilee, God has to be satisfied. Romans 5:11, we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Apart from atonement, there can be no joy. There can be no liberty. There can be no jubilee. So we need to understand the Day of Atonement and why there couldn't be jubilee until that took place. The main record of the Day of Atonement is in chapter 16 of Leviticus, and also there's some information in chapter 23. Now, even though that day is essential, no jubilee without the Day of Atonement. When you read about the Day of Atonement, the Jubilee, there's only one verse that mentions the Day of Atonement. And the only thing it says about it is it's finished. The Day of Atonement is finished, so now let Jubilee begin. If this were a lesson on the Day of Atonement, it would have to be a series, because there's so much that happened on that Day of Atonement. We could talk about the burnt offering. We could talk about the meal offering. We could talk about the drink offering. We could talk about the animals that were slain. We could talk about the bullock and the ram and the seven lambs and the goats and the scapegoats. We could talk about the priest and his garments and his ceremony and the baths that he had to take during that day. We could talk about the veil and the holy place. There's so much to talk about on the Day of Atonement. We could talk about how the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat, before the mercy seat, how it was sprinkled on the Ark of God and before the Ark of God and on the veil and on the people. And so much on the Day of Atonement. But the point in Jubilee is verse 9. On the Day of Atonement you shall sound a horn through all your land. Atonement finished. Atonement completed. The Day of Atonement was over. And that's what announced the Jubilee. The Jubilee could not begin until the atonement was ended. In fact, Jubilee comes from that ram's horn. That's Jubilee. It's from that. And when that horn sounded, it reverberated throughout the whole land, from north to south. Restoration, release, come back, and receive in fullness all you've had right from the beginning. But as I said, that trumpet could not be blown and usher in this wonderful year until the Day of Atonement was finished. So I call it the pre-Jubilee because the Day of Atonement had to do with God's heart and God entering rest. I showed you that Jesus rested in his completed work. The Day of Atonement is Jesus, God resting in his completed redemption. And before there could be Jubilee on earth, there had to be this Jubilee in heaven. It's just a graphic illustration of God having his rest and God having his joy. We read in the New Testament that he wants us to enter his rest. That's the rest he's enjoying. Hebrews 4:9. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. The one who's entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. We can focus on our rest, but he wants to enter the rest he has in his heart. In the parable again of the vine and the branches, John 15:11, these things I've spoken to you that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be made full. Joy on earth can't take place until there's joy in heaven. So his joy makes our joy full. And his joy and his rest was pictured in that Day of Atonement. I want to mention two things about the Day of Atonement, and then we'll get back into the year of Jubilee. The thing that made Jubilee a possibility, the first is embedded in the very word atonement. That is the payment of a price. Redemption through the payment of a price. This was a day of sacrifice. Bloodletting all the day long. There were animals dying on the altar to picture, I think, the ocean fullness of the blood of our Lord Jesus. The Day of Atonement was the day of national forgiveness. One day a year. Symbolically, on that year, every sin was paid for in full. Now listen to this verse, 16:16. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sons of Israel, because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins. In the King James, it says, because of their transgressions in all their sins. Sometimes we think of sin as if it were just this. But in every sin, there are many transgressions. It's not just a sin. It's their transgressions in all their sin. It's like a beehive. There's a colony of transgressions in every sin. So you say, well, I sinned. I was angry. Why were you angry? I was angry because I didn't like what they said. Why didn't you? Well, actually, I've been neglecting my Bible. Why were you neglecting your Bible? Well, because I was angry at God because of something that He allowed in my life. Why were you angry? There's no end. Every sin, you can't confess it to the bottom. If you name every transgression in every sin, it would just go on and on. You'll always find something to confess. You can't say, I've caught up on confession. I've confessed all my sin. But one day a year in the Jewish calendar, God bundled all the sins together. Every sin and every transgression in every sin for every person that had been committed throughout the entire year. All that was taken on this Day of Atonement. Usually we think when we confess our sins, we do one at a time. I lied. I swore. I had a bad thought. I got angry. I was bitter. I have an unforgiving spirit. Something like that. And we confess one at a time. I like to think of that as microscopic confession. That we just take one thing and say, Lord, I really didn't mean to get angry at my wife today, but she burned the toast, you know. And I'm confessing that. I was wrong. But there's also such a thing as telescopic confession. In other words, not when you just confess one sin, but you say, Lord, I've been messed up for about a month. And I can't remember all the sin, and you want me to confess my sin and all the transgression in all my sin? Will God accept it? If you came to Him and said, Lord, forgive me for the last month. All my transgressions, all my sins, and all at once, without naming one particular one. And the answer is yes, and it was pictured on the Day of Atonement. And I just said a month. Is it possible to come to the Lord? Lord, I've been away for 10 years. Been away for 25 years. I want to come back. Is it possible that God would take that bundle, all your sins that you ever committed, and all the transgression in every sin, all at once, and just say, clean? That was the Day of Atonement. And that was God's jubilee. When God was able to say, I want you to come and confess the sins of the nation, every person and every sin and every transgression that they committed every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, throughout the whole year, bring it all together, it's gone. That was God's jubilee. And He entered into that and He said, it's finished. That's my provision. And so we have that same privilege. Sometimes microscopic confession, but sometimes telescopic. The second fact I want you to know, Jubilee is based on the blood of Christ. It's all based on the cross. It's based on the finished work. No finished work, no Jubilee. That's why it had to happen on the Day of Atonement. But the second part of the atonement, the Day of Atonement, was the entering into His presence. The Holy of Holies. You know, that great veil. Symbolically, the veil just hung there. day after day it just said, keep out or you're going to be destroyed. You can't go into this place. But on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, once a year, listen to Hebrews 9:7. Into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and the sins of the people committed in ignorance. Verse 12. Not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered into the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And of course, you're familiar with that great day when the picture became reality. And our Lord Jesus was on the cross. Matthew 27:50. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, yielded up his spirit, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when that veil was torn, everyone became a priest and a high priest and allowed to enter into that holy. Before it said, keep out. Now, the torn veil just says, welcome. So Jubilee announced two things for God's heart, his Jubilee. He said, I can now accept the sinner because every transgression and every sin has been atoned for, and I have accepted that. And because I have accepted that, they can now come into my presence and have sweet fellowship. Now see, all that's in heaven. All that's in God's heart. All that has to do with his rest and his joy. And he said, now that I am at rest, they're forgiven. I am at rest, we can fellowship. Let's bring that down to earth. And now we have our Jubilee. You see, God has to have it first. And then when that's finished, that great ram's horn sounded, and we could now have our Jubilee. It's all pointing to the cross. It's all based on the blood of Christ. And until we enter the finished word, there's no Jubilee. Every one of the blessings that we mentioned, liberty and victory and deliverance and union and love and reunion and provision, is all based on the blood of Christ. I feel compelled to say this. There's a difference between everything based on the blood, based on the atonement, and that which is included in the atonement. It's not the same thing. 100% everything that God has ever done in your life or in my life is because of the blood of our Lord Jesus. You have no blessing apart from the atonement. I have no blessing in my life. Every good thing is based on the atonement. But there's a teaching out there, and recently, the reason I'm on my heart is because I was confronted with it very recently, that some people think healing from physical disease is included in the atonement. They don't say it's based on the atonement. They say it's in the atonement. And what they mean is that Jesus died for sin. And by faith, you can come and claim forgiveness. And if you don't, it's your fault. It's unbelief. But they said he also died for disease. And by faith, you can claim healing the same way you claim forgiveness. Because he died for disease. And they base it on the verse, by his stripes we are healed. They take that to say, he died for sin, come by faith. He also died for disease. And if you do not claim his healing, it's unbelief, and you're guilty. And it's God's will that you claim this healing. So they say faith because it's in the atonement. They base it on that verse, but they don't really see the context of that verse. The first mention is in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell on him, and by his scourging, by his stripes, we're healed. In other words, he died for our transgressions. It's a spiritual healing. The sick need a physician. Jesus died for sin. He didn't die for disease. Does he heal? Sure. Very often. He can do anything he wants to do. And when he does heal, thank God for the blood. Thank God for the atonement. Because healing, as every other blessing, is based on the atonement. Does he make you debt free, literally, so that you have no debts? Not always, but he could. And if he does, it's because of Christ who died for us. So it's all 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin, live to righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. It's not talking about physical disease. As I said, he can heal. And I'm just saying this because in the Day of Atonement, everything's based on the blood of Christ. Elisha didn't die because of unbelief. 2 Kings 13. When Elisha became sick with the illness of which he was to die, that was redemptive. He wasn't sinning against God. In 2 Timothy 4:20, it says, Trimotheus I left sick at Miletus. And I say, Paul, why'd you do that? Why don't you heal him? Why'd you leave this brother sick? And then you know Galatians 4:13, you know it was because of bodily illness I preached the gospel to you for the first time. Have you ever been blessed through the book of Galatians? About 2:20, everybody loves that. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. You wouldn't have that verse if Paul didn't get sick. Paul got sick, had to stop his missionary journey. They brought him there to recover. And while he was there, God used him to start the church. And because of that sickness, we have that wonderful book of Galatians. The whole point I'm trying to make is, with all your heart, believe that every blessing is based on the atonement of Christ. But just be careful that we judge people. Much sickness is redemptive sickness. God has a purpose in it, and he uses it, and it doesn't mean you didn't have enough faith to get healed. You got to trust the Lord with that. And I just felt like I should say a word about that. But let's return to Leviticus 25:9. Then you shall sound a ram's horn on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. Sound a horn through all your land. Now that atonement is accomplished, and God has forgiven all your sins and all your transgressions and all your life, because of that, and because the way is open for fellowship, God has jubilee. Now, he said, you can have it on the earth. This is the day that was made possible when God forgave sin and invited the sinner into his presence. And so we enter his rest. That's our jubilee. We enter his joy. I want to look at the jubilee on earth for those who have taken the step of faith and said, yes, I accept the atonement. That's how you get saved. You believe Jesus died, shed his blood, the atonement. I accept that. Every other benefit is an outworking of that first benefit. Leviticus 25:11, you'll have the 50th years of Jubilee. You shall not sow or reap its aftergrowth or gather in from its untrimmed vine. It's a Jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat the crops out of the field. We've already mentioned and focused a little on the reality of it's not by works, it's by grace. It's by the goodness of God, it's the grace of God. And God ordained that one day a week, we went through that. And they didn't understand it, that God wanted you to have rest. And so, he gave the seventh month. And in the seventh month, there was one week in there where he had three Sabbaths in one week. And they still didn't get it. So he gave a sabbatical year. And they still didn't get it. God was determined to teach Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no man should boast. Same truth in Titus 3. He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through our Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, I take the atonement, and the rest of Jubilee was based on his faithfulness. My faith in a God that is faithful. I showed how much God expressed his desire that we enter into rest. But the whole point was, God was saying, I want you to know that I can provide for you. I don't want you to think that you need that extra day or that extra year. It doesn't matter how long, I can provide for you. Here's the question that they raised at Jubilee. Verse 20. But if you say, what are we going to eat on the seventh year if we do not sow or gather our crops? Why would that question come up? Why would they say, Lord, you're telling us to take a year off and we're not allowed to do this and we can't plow, we can't plant, we can't reap. How are we going to eat? Logic, you know, human reasoning, carnal reasoning. And they're just saying, that doesn't make sense. And God says, I'll tell you how it's going to happen. You want to know how you're going to eat? My faithfulness. They were to labor for 6 years and then take a whole year off. Do you realize, brothers and sisters in Christ, what a tremendous year six had to be if you're going to take year seven off? Because the year six had to take them through most of the sixth year, and it had to take them provision all the way through the seventh year because they weren't allowed to work, and it had to take them to the harvest of the eighth year. God says, will you please know I'm faithful? I will provide. I don't need your help. I don't need your energy. And this is all just a wonderful picture. And they're thinking, it might work for a week. I can take a day off and make things work. Or even three times in a month. But come on, a whole year? I got to trust you for a year and not do anything? 2 years? 3 years? Here's God's answer to the question, how will we eat? In verse 21. God is saying, and I'll give the verse in a moment, God is saying, the way you're going to do it is, I will command my blessing. I think that's such a wonderful verse. How will you eat? I will order, the New American Standard said, I'll order my blessing. You can have it because I'm faithful. And as I finished it at the atonement, I will bring it to pass now all through the year of Jubilee. How can I have liberty today and for the rest of my Christian life till I go to heaven? He said, I'm faithful. Keep your eyes on Christ and you'll have it. You mean I can have rest every day? If your eyes are on Christ, I'm faithful. You can have it. But what about that Christian I disagree with? We always have arguments about doctrine. And there's all this, that, oh, there's Calvinism and there's Arminianism and there's covenant and there's eclectic and then there's every system of theology. There's denominations. Keep your eyes on Christ. You have rich fellowship with all the saints of God. Because He's faithful. He's faithful. So the prevailing principle of the Jubilee, I think, is the faithfulness of the Lord. They have to live by God's blessing and not by their labor. No confidence in the flesh. That's not saying that you're just lazy and don't do anything. He's not saying don't work. He's saying don't depend on your work and don't depend on your labor. You depend upon the Lord. If you think the 6 year was something, say, what a year that 6 year had to be to provide. Imagine what the 48th year looked like. Think about the 48th year. Verse 8, you're to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years. So you have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years. Verse 11, you have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow or reap its aftergrowth, nor gather in from its untrimmed vine. It's a jubilee. It shall be holy. You shall eat crops out of the field. The 50th year followed the 49th year, which was the year of jubilee. So the 48th year had to be the most productive year in the whole year, or in that half century. Do you realize that year? The 48th year had to take them through the 48th year, had to take them through the 49th year, because that was the year of Jubilee, had to take them through the 50th year, because that was Jubilee, and had to take them to the harvest of the 51st year. That's 4 years in a row that they had to trust God to be faithful and to provide. It's just an illustration, but it's like saying, listen, if I can provide once a week, if I can provide 3 times in 1 week, if I can provide a whole year, if I can provide 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, when are you going to learn to trust me? I want to take care of you. I want to be your provision. I think if I lived back then, I would want to be a weatherman. I'll tell you why. Because I could predict in advance that 6 year. I'd be a very famous weatherman. I'd say, you're not going to believe this year and the crops you're going to get. Because I know it's going to keep you for 3 years. I think I'd be the most famous weatherman in Israel. It's so amazing. This is the greatest legislation of all time because Moses was given that, tell them that, by law, by God's word, by God's command, he struck out one harvest every 6 years. He struck out a whole year of harvest. And God obligated himself to do a special miracle every 6 years. If it didn't happen, Moses is a liar. If it didn't happen, God's word is not true. He's just saying, will you live by my miracle? Live by my provision. You don't have to be anxious what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on. Your Heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. You don't have to say, how are the ends going to meet? What's going to happen because of this? God loves you. You're more precious than the sparrow he threw in free. He loves us. He's going to take care of us. No legislation on earth would accept a law that required a miracle every 6 years. That's all divine. That's God's idea. And God proved his faithfulness by working it out historically. God anticipated sight. That's why he included it. But if you say, what shall we eat? How shall we survive? Then he said, I'll command my blessing. But he knew. He knows our hearts. He knows we would doubt. We would distrust him. We want to lean on our own flesh. And we want to trust ourselves. Man just wouldn't trust God's faithfulness. As I said, God's not ruling out works. But he's ruling out confidence in the flesh. Ruling out man depending on man. The first part is very much ours. By faith, we enter his rest. I gotta believe that all my sin and every transgression in all my sin for my whole life is already forgiven. I gotta believe that. It's faith. And then the rest is faithfulness. I've got to believe God's faithful. He wants me to have his jubilee. He wants me to live in liberty. He wants me to have joy. Wants me to have peace. That's all a byproduct. Don't make a goal out of a byproduct. If you try to make a goal out of a byproduct, you're going to lose the goal and the byproduct. These are byproducts. I look to Christ, and with him, he freely gives me all things. And God allows things in your life. You say, how am I going to get through this? He's faithful. He's faithful. You're here today. He brought you this far. And like the song says, grace has brought me safe thus far. Grace will lead me home. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. And cultivate faithfulness. The margin of the New American Standard for that. Feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. Literally, that's what it is. Trust in the Lord and feed on his faithfulness. So may God give all of us, jubilee. 1 Thessalonians, this is not on your sheet, 5:24, faithful is he who calls you. He will also bring it to pass. This is not on your sheet, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful through whom you were called into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, he's faithful. He's faithful. Trust the Lord and feed on his faithfulness and enjoy jubilee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word. Thank you that everything is based on the atonement. And without the blood of Christ, there'd be nothing. How we praise you for all of the blessings of our life are based on that. We thank you that in your heart, you've accepted the finished work of our Lord Jesus. In your heart, you have invited us into your presence to fellowship with you. And now you want us to have a jubilee on earth. We know Christ is the joy of heaven. Christ makes heaven heaven. And Christ now makes life heaven on earth. Let us hear the sound. Lord, bless the horn again. Let us hear. Let us believe and enter into jubilee. We ask in Jesus' name.
Here, look. Ask me, shall receive.